Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Welcome to Pod Maverick After Dark. I'm Kirk Henderson. Josh and I are coming to you on Tuesday night, April 15th. Ostensibly, we'd be coming to you for a Kings-Mavs preview, but the dirty dark secret is that we don't fucking care about that game, really, and we all just want it to end. And then Nico Harrison did a thing today.
He did a thing today.
So funny story. As I'm in this, and you know, Josh has been helpful with this because Josh is an actual reporter. Doyle Rader, also actual reporter. The longer I'm in this, the more I hear things. And I never know when to go with something and when not to. I'm not a reporter. I don't really care. Like when I was told by a reputable source that Nico Harrison was told to stay away from the Lakers game. And he went anyway. So I went with that. It was wrong.
I believe it. I can't believe you showed up. I wouldn't have gone.
Yeah. And so I was told about 3 weeks ago that Nico Harrison was looking to host an invite only not off the record, but session with me, like probably some handpicked tier one media where they could talk to Nico and probably Rick Welts. There wouldn't be cameras. There wouldn't be recording. So I'm sitting in bed last night. It's like 8 o'clock. I'm delirious with fever because I have like a child plague.
Are you okay? Yeah, I didn't ask you. I'm sorry. Are you feeling
okay? Better? I mean, like everything in Dallas is covered in pollen. So like all things considered, I could be worse. Yeah. I also think it was from that flooding in my bathroom where I basically like inhaled mold for a period of days. Alas. So I'm sitting in bed last night, and all of a sudden I get a flurry of messages from a Mavs media member. Doesn't really matter who it is. You guys can probably figure it out because there are only a certain number of people who are there today. But either way, it's just like, oh, hey, wow, this is happening tomorrow. And I was like, oh, cool, interesting, something to talk about. So I knew we were going to have something to talk about. Didn't know when it was going to happen, but I kind of figured morning because a lot of these media guys have to get on planes and go to Sacramento, cover the game. And lo and behold, that's what happened. 15 or so, which is actually more than I would have figured, hand-picked media members. They literally were hand-picked. Like Tim Cato went from 50.
I got to stop cutting you off. Keep going. Okay. I was going to say, well, 15, but three were like Mavs employees or affiliated Mavs people.
Sure. But a lot of people, lot of people, like I was, when I heard off the record kind of fireside chat, I expected like Nico Harrison, Rick Welts, and like four people.
And then also the timing too, less like what it went out at like 7 o'clock for 10 a.m. I know these guys, this is their full-time job. So what still, else are they going to do? But still that's hard. That's hard.
And so I don't know who all was there, but I do know, Dallas Morning News guy, Mike Curtis.
Mike Curtis was there. Brad Townsend was there.
Brad Townsend was not there.
Oh, he wasn't there?
No, okay. Which I find like the choices here I find fascinating.
Well, Tim Brad's not a full-time Mavs reporter.
Well, right, but Tim Cato was there and Mark Stein was not.
They explained on the show they had one slot and Tim Stein and Cato.
Well, they specifically didn't ask Mike Pelucci of Dallas Magazine, and they instead invited like his boss, who doesn't really know anything about the Mavs.
But he wrote a business story on Patrick Dumas.
Right. And he went and he wrote probably the meanest fucking story out of any outlet. And like,
I shake his hand. It was great. It was
incredible. If you know what, Josh,
here, you keep talking. I'll link it. I got to
find it and link it in the notes here. It was in, and you can give us the title where he basically like painted the picture of what it was like being there. Cause I don't know how many questions he asked, cause I don't know how many questions he had to ask. Rick Welts apparently started the thing off, talked for 2 or 3 minutes, gave a really horrible analogy comparing this trade to the Monta Ellis for Andrew Bogut trade, which was poorly received at the time. That's actually factually accurate, but it's just not the same. And then Nico got peppered with questions for like 45 minutes. And before we absolutely burn Nico to the ground, I have to give him some credit in the fact that he finally actually answered questions. The problem is,
do you have to give him credit if he did it against his will?
Well, yeah, and I think he might have. But Tim McMahon reported on ESPN on one of the TV bits he did today that like Patrick Dumont had wanted this done, and I almost think it was like a kid trying to get out of doing their homework, where Harrison might have thought he could run out the clock, which is why it didn't happen 2 weeks ago. This is pure speculation, though. Anyway, did you find the piece?
Yeah, I put it in the chat. Is there somewhere else I need to put it?
No, that's good. I just need to go look for it. What was the name? What was the name of the piece? Do you remember?
I was at the exclusive Mavs Media Roundtable. It was even more awkward than I imagined.
So where do we start with this, man? Because
I don't know. There's so many quotes.
Let's just go by the things that you deem important, because you're really good. You're really good at this.
Oh my God, where do we even start? I mean, the Monte thing was funny, really bad, because then he said something, Rick Welts said something like, but it was okay because we had Steph Curry, and it's like, buddy, Luka, this is not original. Luka is the Steph Curry. Like, and why is he there? Why do they keep trotting him out? I don't understand.
I'm glad you asked that. They think Hall of Famer Rick Welts matters. I don't give a flying fuck that this man has been involved on the NBA business side for 46 years.
He doesn't make basketball decisions. Why is he there?
In the Naismith Hall of Fame as a pat you on your head motion. I don't want to disparage this man's career and act like it doesn't matter.
No, that's fine. But it's for different stuff. Yeah.
In the specific, his career doesn't matter to me and will never matter to me.
Also, he's been working for the Mavs for like 2-3 months. I don't know. Like he's not a key decision maker for any of this stuff. It felt mean to him. Like that's not his role. You know what I mean?
This is a great point. The D Magazine story pointed out that like it was like a breakfast type thing with a sit down around a literal table, and no one touched their food or their drink the entire hour.
Yeah. Cato made a joke. He was like, hinting that like, because someone was like, did you fear for your life? And Cato was like, no. He was like, no, but I also didn't eat the food they provided.
I mean, that's what like Dalton kept making the joke that if I got invited, it was to assassinate me.
Right. So that was bad. Like, comparing it to that trade was bad. And also, like, not only is comparing Luka to Monte bad, I hope Anthony Davis didn't see that, doesn't get that quote passed to him, because I don't think he'll appreciate being compared to Andrew fucking Bogut. How do you think AD will take that? Like, Jesus. top 75 player of all time, Anthony Davis is not, you know, say what you will, but I don't think he would appreciate being called Andrew Bogut. I know that's not what he was doing, but still. I think I'm trying. I don't know how, like, what quote to look at first, but I mean, the big thing was, I think the summary of it was, they had, and you know, forgive me, I know Cato talked about this on his podcast, so this is also isn't really an original thought, but the summary was, you know, they had what, 2 months to think of something to say since the presser before the Cleveland game, and they didn't say anything different. He reiterated basically the same talking points as before, but this time just got a little agitated because there were actually people there willing to push back at some of his comments. And obviously things have come out since then and people have had time to digest it. So people have had time to offer a rebuttal. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty clear that, I don't want to say he wasn't prepared, but Nico was very much not in the mood for telling the truth today. And I think it's because he's caught in this hard place in his brain.
Ooh, where you don't think he was telling the truth? That's interesting.
Well, I think he's telling the truth about the defense, but I don't think he can say with his chest why they traded Luka, because it would just make things worse.
Oh, yeah, because apparently the Luka volume was turned way down today. Like, there was very little Luka talk specifically, to the point to where it seemed like he was almost going out of his way to be Luka's great.
Yeah, but like, he kept saying defense wins championships, and everyone was like, why is this guy literally repeating the same line seven times? I think it's because he can't say what he wants to say, because it would make things a thousand times worse. What he wants to say, or what the reason is he thinks Luka is a fat slob that will break down in 5 years. He cannot say that into That's what he thinks.
Yeah.
He can't say that. And then he can't say, we were not going to offer him the Supermax this summer, and I did not want to deal with him potentially asking for a trade.
That's the place to start. Do you have Tim McMahon stuff on hand? It's in ESPN, so I'll just talk for a second.
This was probably the most contentious part of the thing.
And so let's be clear here. I'm tired of this, so I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to go for it again. I'm tired of people that don't understand what the role of a media person should be. And I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. And I'm a fan. Josh is more media. That's why we work together, okay? Tim McMahon's job as a media member is to press and to ask questions and to report what happens. He reported that the Mavericks thought Luka was fat for years. And all people did was question his integrity, and I'm sick of that shit. So all McMahon did today was get extraordinarily feisty in front of Duma, or in front of Harrison. And I'll let Josh kick it off.
Yeah. So he said, Nico stood firm on his. So now I'm quoting from the D Magazine piece. I'm so sorry. We got to tell the writer's name. Ben Swanger.
Yeah, Ben Swanger. That's right. Sorry.
Okay. Let me get. So Ben, this is Ben's piece. I'm quoting Ben's piece. It didn't. Harrison stood firm on his Anthony Davis fixation. Quote, Nico, this is Nico. We wanted a two-way player. When we had that opportunity, we struck. He defended his decision to not shop the deal for a better offer. Quote, Nico, we're talking about a player in Luka who this summer would have had a decision to make whether he signs the Supermax contract or he waits. And then Tim McMahon pushes on that, saying, no, Luka pretty much, he said it on the record, like he said the first day of his Lakers press conference that he would have signed
the Supermax.
And when Tim McMahon said that to him, Harrison said, we can agree to disagree.
I think there's a line in there that got left out. It was, let me see if I can go find it. It was it, Dallas Magazine, I'm sorry, the DLLS guys actually kind of went back and forth this day. Let me see if I actually quote.
Oh, where he said like Luka was crying on the bed.
Like Luka yeah. was crying. He was never going to leave. And it right. just, he basically said, we'll agree to disagree. Right. And it,
yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, what do you do with this?
I mean, that's Nico. He can't say it because it's not. Obviously Luka would have signed it. He wasn't going to offer the contract to Luka. But he doesn't want to say that because that makes him look like a bigger idiot. And he doesn't want to dig himself in a further grave. So he's doing these brain twists where he's like, I don't want to say the thing. I don't want to say the thing, but I have to say something. And that's what he gets turned around. He should say the, I mean, I don't know if he should say it, but he absolutely did not want to offer Luka the Supermax. I mean, if he traded him, like, he traded him. Of course he didn't want to offer him the Supermax. If he didn't like him enough that he wanted to trade him, he was never going to offer him the Supermax. And then he was scared that when he didn't offer him the Supermax this summer, Luka would have demanded a trade. It would have gotten out. And then either Nico loses his leverage with public sentiment, and then maybe Patrick Dumont is more aware of the situation before the trade happens and either fire, you know, maybe Dumont goes, oh, well, I'm picking Luka. I'm firing Nico. So this is all about Nico trying to control everything, which goes back to all the reporting from Tim McMahon and how Nico has ruled the Mavericks since he's become general manager. Nico wants to control everything. He's trying to control the narrative here. And he understands that if he says with his chest the truth about this, which is he thinks Luka is fat slob who will not hold up in 5 years, and we did not want to offer him the Supermax, which would have, because he would have asked for a trade and we didn't want to deal with it. That's the reason, but he can't say it because he knows if he says it, it's over for him. He'll get fired probably on the spot by Dumont, maybe. The fan base will revolt even harder than it is now. And so he just has to talk in circles around the whole thing. It makes him sound like an idiot, but that's kind of that's the choice
he made. Well, in a big, big, big time idiot, to the point to where I question, like, it's okay to do this. And this is the thing that I don't understand why a lot of our harder, just journalistic, let's just say old media friends will do this. It's okay to say he's a guy in over his head. He has all but said that. He has all but shown this now. And I'm looking for some of the quotes that he had today where it's just like he's clearly – like this quote right here. This is from Mike Curtis's short piece, clearly before he hopped on a plane to go to Sacramento. It's like great. He like filed it as he was getting on the plane. Harrison on if he felt like the Mavs maximized the return for Luka, given Mark Cuban's quote, get a better deal statement. This is from Nico Harrison. When you look at this trade, we targeted AD. With our philosophy of defense win championships, we wanted a two-way player to lead our team, and that was Anthony Davis. Everyone's going to have their criticism. I'm not sure what Mark Cuban said, but that's Liar. A better question left for him. But we got what we wanted. First of all, yeah, big time liar. You're absolutely aware of what he said. Second part, and this is incredibly, incredibly important. I want you to understand this. By saying you only wanted Anthony Davis and you didn't care, and I'm sorry, this is not subtext. This is not me reading into this and being unfair to him. He wanted Anthony Davis. That was all he cared about. He right. considers Luka and Anthony on the same level.
Okay? No, I think he considers Anthony above Luka.
Yes. He does. And that is a disqualifying statement for an NBA general manager in the year 2025.
Right.
He, on that statement alone, deserves to lose his job and never work in basketball again. I'm tired of acting like it's anything other than that. We have these weird statements from people. Marcus Thompson wrote a brilliant takedown of this whole situation for The Athletic. But he did the caveat where he's like, well, we don't know if this is going to work out. Yes, we fucking do.
It already hasn't worked.
It's already failed. Over. It's done.
Yeah, and that's why everyone's like, why didn't he get more? You know,
he didn't want more.
He didn't want more. He got what he wanted. If he properly valued Luka Doncic, then he wouldn't have traded Luka Doncic, right?
Well,
like, you know, you could get so much more for Luka. Well, clearly he didn't think so because he's trading him in the first place.
This one's killing me. This one I wrote a whole piece on today because and you know what? At the time I was reading it, it was mildly out of context, and then Tim Cato gave kind of the context for the quote, and I still think it applies. one of the questions that was asked either by Cato or somebody else was asked to asked about Dirk Nowitzki's disapproval of firing longtime employees like Casey Smith and other changes in the organization. Harrison had this to say.
Sounds like McMahon asked that. I think.
My obligation is to the Dallas Mavericks. It's what's in the best interest of the Dallas Mavericks, and that's the most important thing. Some of those decisions are going to be unpopular, and maybe Dirk, and maybe to the fans, but my obligation is to the Dallas Mavericks. Fuck you, Nico Harrison. Who the fuck do you think you are? So tired of this stuff. This guy doesn't know what the Mavericks are. He has no idea what we've been through. He's such a patsy and a loser. All he's doing is up there regurgitating bullshit from Kobe system commercials from 2000 and what, like eight? I'm exhausted with this man. He has no business being a general manager. He has no business issuing statements for the team. He is embarrassing himself every time he speaks, and I am absolutely tired of it.
It's so funny because, by the way, Dirk was a Nike athlete. So, like, did Nico? I guess Nico didn't pay attention to Dirk. I mean, you know, I don't know how that works, but clearly his Nike time, Dirk did not leave an impression on Nico, the one basketball player at Nike that seemingly didn't leave an impression on Nico.
He's gone out. Like, look, man. You can think I'm reading into this, and maybe I am, but he has never mentioned Dirk in a context before. Because, and I think there's a reason for that.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. He doesn't respect Dirk. He doesn't respect what this organization has been through. He is a guy who thinks it is all about me and I'm the one who matters. And therefore we're going to go forth and talk about the Dallas Mavericks organization where everything he says is meant to justify his own choices. He gave an asinine quote in relation to the other deals that he's done while conveniently avoiding. He tried to take two firsts for Kyle fucking Kuzma.
Right. That deal would have happened. It didn't happen because of the Mavs. It happened because Kuzma is a dummy and said no.
And go look at how Kyle Kuzma's working out with the Bucks, folks. He's horrendous. Yeah. Like, I'm glad that they fell into PJ and whatnot. But what are we doing? Like, the constant disrespect of the customer is insane. Like, Rick Welts babbled something about how they have 75-80% of their season ticket holders back. Tim McMahon disputes that.
Yeah, what he said on the radio, he's like, I would love to look at the books on that.
I'm tired of being lied to my face. And if they think this is going to work out in the long haul, this is why I'm calling for a complete teardown. Because we are either dead later or we die and rebuild now.
No, I understand. And I think another point we should bring up, this is again in the D Magazine piece. Apparently, this was also a pretty contentious part of was McMahon. Harrison reached a breaking point sometime around the 48-minute mark when McMahon started to press about why the organization parted ways with former medical staff members Casey Smith, Jeremy Holsapple, sorry if I messed that up, and Casey Spangler. Smith, in particular, is regarded as one of the league's best in his role. By the way, he is now the head.
It's not regarded. He is the best. Yeah, there's data.
He was head of training. He was a head of medicine or training, sports medicine for Team USA. He is now like the director of sports medicine for the New York Knicks, who, by the way, despite the fact that Tom Thibodeau plays everyone on that team 45 minutes a night, have done okay with injuries. I know Brunson got hurt, but considering how many, considering how much those guys play and they don't have a bench, pretty good little feather in Smith's cap about how well that team's held up compared to how much minutes they're playing. Harrison responded, I'm not going to sit here and go back and forth. You're coming at me from a negative standpoint and I'm looking at it from a positive standpoint. The guys we brought in are better.
Like that is objectively false. They are 13-20 since the trade.
He's saying the guys we brought in are better. He's saying the training staff is better than
also Casey's objectively false. I'm sorry. They're not better. I don't want to disparage any person who's trying to do a good job at their work, but the data shows one thing. You say another. At a certain point, rubber meets the road here.
Right. And there's a part of me that understands, like, there was nothing he could have said today that wouldn't have made people angry. The only thing he could have said today that wouldn't have made people angry was if he got up there and said, I'm sorry, made a mistake, I'm resigning. Which, yep, obviously he wasn't going to do.
I don't know, man. That day might be coming sooner than we think.
No, I know. I don't know.
The temperature only goes up. Shout out to Kevin Gray, who for some reason is watching Mavs content at 10 o'clock at night after he has made Mavs content all day at DLLS. They had a great show today, a great live show today. They're not allowed to curse on their shows, as they reminded me before I did that episode the other day. And I just want Kevin to know I could feel his fury. It was what this is for. Yeah.
Did you see the Mark Cuban DM that got shared?
Oh yeah. Typical Mark Cuban, just being pathetic. Yeah, like he's a fucking L7 weenie. Tired of him too.
I agree. It wasn't my call, Mark Cuban. I'm an MFFL. I was pissed when we traded Jason Kidd in the 90s. Still an MFFL. Bit different. Should look at the record of the Mavericks when Jason Kidd was traded back in 1996. I won't spoiler it for you, but it was not close to making the NBA Finals, which is what the Mavericks did before they traded.
I mean, look, Mark Cuban tweeted out something in response to Tim's piece today. It's once again one of the wonderful things that Mark Cuban has always been consistent about, and this is why I don't understand why he has so many fans and people love Mark Cuban. But
I understand people want to only hear the good stuff. We know.
But
that.
What Mark Cuban also does is he lets you know it's your fucking fault. You, the fan. The fan is the problem for feeling a certain way. He has a big lengthy tweet today about how we shouldn't cheer for the guys in the uniform. Of course I cheer for laundry. We'd be one of these patsies who went and covered the Lakers if we were one of those people.
Also, excuse me, has anyone booed the players since this has happened?
No.
Has anyone, like...
It's just constant. Like, and
the again, crowd Kevin was going...
It's just gaslighting, like gaslighting from a former owner, gaslighting from a current general manager.
The crowd has gone nuts. They went nuts when Davis played well against Houston.
That's true.
They went nuts when he made that game winner against Atlanta. They're cheering when the basketball is good. I'm sorry that they're not cheering when Luka is dropping 45 on you and you're getting drilled in the fourth quarter. Like, what are we supposed to cheer? Why are people supposed to cheer when they're losing? Mm-hmm. And then another thing is, like, he talks about, like, you know, and I heard this, you know, I don't want to name names, but I heard another similar talking point to Cuban that was shared in our Slack. And it's like, you know, don't bring this negative energy on the players who didn't ask for this. And I get it. That sucks for the players. They didn't ask for it. They're in a crappy situation.
I mean, I didn't ask for my favorite player to be traded and for my whole life. Not to be exaggerative, but this has helped turn my, like, a part of my professional life upside fucking down.
It reeks of, like, well, protest, but do it politely. Like, that's an oxymoron. Protest isn't effective if you're comfortable. That's the point of a protest, is to make people in charge uncomfortable.
I'm glad you did this, because my favorite part of DLLS shows is, like, our buddy Timmy Cato is just not, he's not naturally, he doesn't get heated. That's Tim. That's why he's a reporter. Him and Mark Stein, both guys. But there have been instances, the past several shows, where Tim's basic level of it's like they're insulting his intelligence.
Yes.
It should make every one of you mad. They think you're stupid. The Mavericks think you're stupid, and they think you're going to eat the shit that they shovel and go back to the box office and watch another game. And the thing about this is, and I'm pretty sure of this, fans have too many options now. Whether we're stupid or not is beyond the point. People aren't going to go, you know, just pay attention to who sponsors what next year, guys. It's not going to be the same people. Yeah. People are mad, and money talks and money walks. They have fucked this. And the only way they can figure out a way to head back to zero is to fire Nico Harrison, or he walks away, fire Jason Kidd. Patrick Dumont issues a huge mea culpa and says, look, I was misled. I trusted the people I empowered, and I'm sorry. Because honestly, that's what happened. Everybody thinks that Dumont wanted to move. Like, I'm sorry, the Adelsons are some of the richest people in the multiverse. They don't care about Luka Doncic's Supermax.
They wiped their ass with that contract.
Because here's the thing. The franchise has lost that much, his contract in valuation alone. So all these people need to go. All these people need to go, and then they can start over, and we can be at ground zero again, and then we can try to build. And you know what, Josh? The dirty little secret is we're likely never going to get anywhere back to near where the Mavericks were ever. It's too hard. Team building is too hard. And we're just never going to get there again. But they have to try. Otherwise, we're not even going to start until 2031. And at that point, I'm sure the world's oceans will have overtaken Florida. It's super bleak.
Yeah, no, I know. And I agree with you. And to close out, like the protest thing where it was like, don't bring that negative energy on the players. It's like, look, where Nico Harrison is not on Twitter. He does not have an email. Like, okay, you want to direct the energy at the guy who did it. Where else are you going to do it? The Mavs game, home games are the only place that the fans can hear the response to what they're saying. Like, you're like, yeah, go protest, but don't bring on the player. Okay, well, there's not a Nico Harrison hotline. He's not a congressman where you can leave a voicemail on his secretary's answering machine. Like, there's no way to get a hold of him. So, like, this idea, don't bring the negative energy on the players, you know, cheer for the players. The fans have been cheering for the players every single game. The games have been way more like fan positive than I think I even anticipated. Like, for the most part, when good stuff happens during the games for the Mavs, the fans are cheering. They're just using some opportunities during the games to voice their displeasure because there's no other place to do that. Where else are they going to make their voice heard to Nico Harrison? Well, the only other thing you do is don't buy tickets and don't watch. But I think there needs to be that helps. And I think, you know, honestly, that helps more. The money matters the most, but I understand the desire to want to be heard about this. Mm-hmm. And where else are you going to do that than at the game when he's in the tunnel? You know he's there. He can hear you. It's not like you could call him. You can't. Well, he's not Cuban. That's the one thing Cuban like. You Cuban could email
a forward-facing person.
Yeah, when Cuban fucked up, you could email Mark Cuban and be like, "What the fuck, dude?" And he'd be like, "He'd respond now."
Help himself. But
yeah,
there's a couple of points that I
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I want to respond to you there that I think are important. And look, I don't want to. We've been very good for like 2 years about not getting into any other spats with Mavs adjacent media.
I was so excited to see another media person get in a fight with Mavs person, and it wasn't us.
It wasn't us being dicks. But I got to bring this up today.
Okay.
On the Take That With You podcast, which is Brian Damaris.
God damn it, Kirk.
I'm sorry, I can't help myself.
Okay.
Brian Damaris and Mark Falwell, and then today they were joined by Ben and Sken. Ben and Sken are doing their own thing now. Ben and Sken, we've had our ups and downs. Sken once referred to me as a guy from Virginia about why I have influenced the Mavs community. That was really fun. But more or less, we all try to be friendly. But today on a podcast, which is clearly not recorded today, Sken accidentally went down that road where he was trying to basically police fandom. And these guys that are actual employees for the Mavericks, I have an unbelievable amount of sympathy for. I do. I can't imagine being put in the position to have to defend the idiocy of this trade and also defend the players who are on the court.
Yeah, and Mark Falwell looked like his dog got shot.
It sucks, man.
Just start that Cleveland game. Like, you could tell he cared. Like, he cared.
So I just want to point that out. And it's funny why I started like I was going to say something rude. I'm not saying anything rude. I feel for these guys because we're all tasked with putting out information, content, thoughts, feelings. That's literally what helps makes us a little bit of side money. For them, it's more of a job. For us, it's more of a hobby, which is why I'm able to say things that they can't and curse like a sailor. But I just wanted to point out that, like, these guys have to say this stuff. And they want to support the players. I promise. I feel very strongly about the fact that none of these guys would defend Nico Harrison given the opportunity and no ability to record what you're saying.
Yeah. Totally. I get it. But also, it's just like, I would get it if fans were like booing. Like, I think fans have mostly been shooting. The only thing is, yeah, they've been yelling fire Nico when the Mavericks are shooting free throws. But like, in the grand scheme of things, that is not.
No,
that is not that bad. Like, they're still cheering for the team. Like, I haven't felt like let's just say, I don't think the Mavs community has not tried to embrace the team and the players. And
I mean, what would embrace us? Like, what would really allow everybody to embrace Anthony Davis is him not being the way he's been in games that matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
Maybe show up against that Lakers, but that Lakers game.
I think everybody, like, there's all this weird Kyrie chatter in the background, what Kyrie wanted, yada, yada, yada. I don't, like, Kyrie Irving literally went up after one of the road games and essentially said to the media, speaking to management, cut the shit. Meaning yeah. talking to, it's so odd. Like, the shit's coming from Nico Harrison.
Right.
And Nico today talked about how he has no concerns about whether they're going to be able to sign players in the future. Like, they should be worried. Now, it really doesn't matter. The Mavericks are $3 million from the first apron next year. They have 13 players under contract. They have one healthy guard to start the year next year, and it's Jaden Hardy. Hope everybody's excited. Like, things are so bleak, and I get arguments from everybody all the time. They're like, oh, it'll be fine. They'll go do this, that, and the other, and they'll be good in a couple of seasons. And it's like, I think Anthony Davis puts you at a baseline wins of like 30. Like, I think that's kind of your floor. But I also think Anthony Davis is your best player, puts you at a ceiling of like 40 wins. And they're just – if Kyrie comes back, I don't want to have high expectations for him because it's not fair. He's 33 and be coming off an ACL tear.
Well, it's Jamal Murray was like, what, 4 or 5 years younger when he tore his ACL? And
he's never been the same.
It took him – yeah.
He's not the same. He's out right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And Kyrie's already had 2 knee surgeries on his knee. By the way, I don't know if it's the same knee that he tore his ACL, but he's already had Remember, that's why he got traded to Boston, because he was like, I'm going to get this surgery if you don't trade me. And then he needed a surgery, and then he had to get another surgery to correct the first surgery. He's had lower body injuries. I mean, didn't he have them at Duke, like coming out of college? Like, he missed games.
He had some bizarre, he's most of Kyrie's injuries stuff, honestly, but fall under the bizarre category.
Right. But that still just doesn't get better the older you get, no. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I'm sure there's an argument that the Mavericks will be okay, but it's just like, if there's a 1 to 10 meter where anything below a 5 is pessimistic, and anything above, you know, 5 or up is a positive thing. It's just like, I'm trending more towards slightly negative, and it's because what the team building is so hard. And I remember why we kept posting, the drunken podcast when we got Luka Doncic in 2018 when the Mavericks drafted him, because I was so sure that this was a building block piece where this is the centerpiece. Even if it wasn't going to be good enough, it was like a, you know, and you see this with like the Pacers and Halliburton.
The next era. Yeah.
You see this with Paolo Banchero and the Magic. Like, there's the guy. We don't have that anymore. And when you don't have that, like, and honestly, it was this way when Dirk, you know, pretty much 2014 on, like, he battled, like, that was a great playoff series, I think, Oklahoma City. But after that playoff series, it wasn't fair. And they had that really good team, the Rondo team, the next year, I think, was maybe 2014-15. But after that season, so it's like 15 and 16, 16 and 17, those seasons weren't very fun. And it's just, it makes me sad, guys. And
I know. And even by their own account, they did the trade because they said they would make us a better championship contender this year. And now we have a 3-year window. Okay. Of that 3-year window, year one is gone. And now year two is probably gone because of the Kyrie injury. So you've got 1 year to win a championship, because, by the way, it has to be, it's championship or bust. Because I know a lot of people are like, well, you could still have a successful season if you don't win a championship. That's true, but not when you do this. Because when you do this, you have to win a championship, or doesn't matter. I don't care if you get to the second round, you get to the Western Conference Finals. No. You got to the, you know, you were there already with Luka. You did the trade because you said this is how we win a championship. So that's how they have to be judged now.
Well, and for the whole kind of it seems like the off the record notion from Harrison is that he thought Luka was going to break down within 5 years.
Someone made a good point, said he thinks he's Sean Kemp or something, and that's like a great comparison.
Okay.
In terms of his thinking, like, okay, it's what, yeah.
But tell me something.
That's stupid.
Yeah. Is 5 years longer than 3 years?
Right. All right. Even if Luka fell off, even if Luka quit and went to the Slovenian farm in 5 years, that would still be a longer championship window than what they're doing right now.
I'm just genuinely like, so somebody said in the chat earlier, I don't remember, it's like, he's not going to quit. He can play out his contract. He can do whatever. I have to imagine his life here sucks.
Does it suck enough for him to give up guaranteed millions?
That's where it comes from. Yeah. Because he's because my wife pointed this out. My wife's an attorney, and she said, she's like, he's an idiot because he didn't put his house in a trust. And so it was really easy to figure out where he lived. Like, I'm sorry. People found out where this guy lived. There are people walking around with, it's scary. Like, I can't imagine he goes to the grocery store by himself. I bet he really has security.
Texas is an open carry state. It's not like, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
On this particular podcast, we are extraordinarily against anything violent. Loud voices is the extent of our belief system here on this silly podcast. We understand it's just basketball. Okay. I'm mad, but it is still just basketball. I can't imagine what it is like. Like, you want to be able to enjoy your life, and he can't go anywhere.
Can't go out to dinner. He hasn't been seen in public since the trade, right? Because I have to imagine if he was, someone would have taken, like, you know,
pictures. Yeah, people are really weird about that. And nowadays with cell phones.
So my point, like, you know, I wonder if, do you think that there is a stalemate? Do you think Dumont is waiting for him to resign so he doesn't have to pay out his contract? Because if he fires him, presumably he has to pay out.
That depends. I bet. So like financial indicators lag. You know, you don't really find out about stuff until a quarter or so later. I think it really depends. I think it because and there was an article out today, not just on the Mavericks, but it was like kind of on the apocalypse of regional sports networks. And like the money spigot for these teams, like the revenue sources that are additional to the TV money is getting kind of bleak.
Well, the TV money is going away.
Well, no, but I mean like the
sports networks, right? Is that what you're saying?
But I mean the money that comes from the national TV deal, like the one that was signed in the offseason.
Yeah. The money outside of that is bleak.
The big one that was signed by ABC and ESPN and then Amazon and that sort of stuff. Like, so there are additional sources of revenue. So like your local RSNs and that sort of thing have become kind of apocalyptic. And then, you know, if your season ticket holder money is going down, Mavs TV, people are asking for refunds and not signing up for that. Like you knew there was going to be a hit when you bought the team and then you devalue the team. And there's this, I just can't imagine.
Yeah.
I mean,
the old TV model, like company like Fox Sports would pay the local team to broadcast their games because and now the Mavericks have gone, and a lot of this is for a lot of other teams, they've gone from being paid by another company to broadcast their games to now they are footing the bill to broadcast the games themselves. Like, there's no more Bally's, there's no more Fox Sports. Like, Mavs TV is run by the Mavs. They are broadcast. So now they are paying. I don't know how it worked before, but I don't know in terms of how they're paying stuff, but like it used to be, they got money to.
I mean, like, I wouldn't be surprised if in the off season there is a reduction in force. That's not the right phraseology. I guess it is. Like the Mavericks themselves are going to have a reduction in staff in the off season. Like they're already a small operation, and the revenue for some of these teams is. And this is kind of Mark Cuban's point when he kept talking about how he was losing money. Is like the cash stream is not what you think it would be for a major sports team. And it just, this stuff is not easy. And I really think to your question was, do I think that Dumont holds on to him? I don't see how. I think you have to give people some hope. And the only people who have hope right now are people that aren't paying any attention to down the road, or, and I mean this with respect to some of the people I've debated with, simply have a higher belief in this team than I think is warranted.
Yeah, I guess it comes down to, do you think, because if he fires him, that's Dumont admitting a mistake. That's him having to say, listen, I listened to this guy, shouldn't have done it. Like, will he admit that? Because I don't know if he's the kind of guy that will do that, judging by some of his public comments.
I mean, I firmly...
But the money might matter, yeah.
This is my take, and only my take. Mm-hmm. I firmly believe his talking points that then were recited to Brad Townsend were provided by Nico. And Dumont sounded so dumb in that interview. He sounded so dumb. And I can't possibly believe that both he and Nico are that dumb. One of the two of them, like Nico has a firm belief system. He's going to die on that hill for it. But I don't think like Dumont is like, there was already enough stuff floating out about there about how Nico or about how Dumont knows he's not a basketball guy. So he's leaning on his people. And I think he's just been embarrassed. Like at a certain point, you just have to say, I'm sorry. And we'll start over.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, we were going to have some Kings preview, but here's my summation of Mavs Kings. I wish it wasn't so late, and I hope they handle business quickly, whatever game it is, however it goes.
The timing. Like, I know that's been repeated before, but like the fact that this is what we're talking about before the game is crazy. Also, like if this is what they were going to say, like it's also like who's doing PR for this team? Like, I don't get it.
They must not have a crisis PR firm.
Like, you could have done this. You could have done this exact same thing where you controlled everything. It was invite only, no cameras. You could have done this like on February 12th after AD got his diagnosis that he was out for a month. And obviously things were going to look bad and just got it out of the way. Like, it'd be one thing if they waited this long to I don't know, offer some mea culpa, like, but they didn't. They just stood. So like, it's like, why did you wait a month to just say the same things that you said before? Like just thinking of it from a PR perspective, it gets just really dumb. Like, you could have just done this 2 months ago. People would have got mad, but at least it wouldn't have been 24 hours before you play a do or die game that decides your season.
Well, that's I only watched about 15 minutes of the DLLS pod, but a lot of people in the chat, maybe if Kevin's still lurking, he can attest to this. But I saw Kevin get mad, And I saw Tim get mad. I did not see Stein get mad. And Stein is a consummate. Well,
Stein was mad.
Stein is like, he's a consummate professional. Okay. To the point to where it annoys me, because I have asked him some questions off the record about some things, and he gives me, he doesn't want it. He doesn't like, I think, in my feeling from like talking to him is he is just loath to criticize. He doesn't want to criticize. He wants to report.
And
go ahead.
I was going to say, he said on the podcast today that he didn't want to accept the invitation from the Mavs because he did not agree with how they were to a closed invite-only media session. Because he was like, that's not right. That's not how you do things. Like, we shouldn't participate. He was like, we talked about like how I didn't want to participate in this because this is
fucking awesome.
It needs to be an open, media environment. Let everybody in. So yeah,
All right, rewind and delete and ignore all my other stuff. That's rad.
Yeah,
that's some rad stuff.
I think that's kind of why maybe Cato went. I don't think Stein necessarily wanted to be a part of the conditions the Mavericks placed upon being able to get interview access.
What a bizarre 75 days.
Yes.
We can't.
They play a game tomorrow. An important game.
Yeah, we don't care. And nobody. And Paige, how do you say her last name?
Paige Beckers.
I don't want to butcher her last name. But I always the most exciting, like probably.
I know her name, but I always say Beukers for some reason.
So do I. Like my brain processes it that way. Yeah. But the other, like the second most exciting Dallas basketball like adjacent thing to happen in the last 10 years. Like seriously, like they just completely blacked that out. Yeah. Like if I was the Wings, I would be like, fuck these guys. I know it's a different sport. There's a lot of people who don't care, but like, I'll tell you, there are a lot of people who do care.
Like, I looked at the tickets for the American Airlines Center game for Wings and Caitlin Clark's Fever.
It's going to be rad.
There are not a lot of seats left, and the ones that are left are pricey. And I don't think they'd be that pricey if there are a lot of seats left.
And the basketball, it's like, look, I was a practice player for a women's team. I understand if women's basketball is not your deal, but some of the best, when you're watching the best do it, and the WNBA is just like the NBA in this regard, where like the best players stand out in a real way, it's gnarly and it's fun, and we'll be covering it as we can.
The one thing, if you're mad about like the NBA in terms of like watching games that you feel like don't matter in terms of like the competitiveness, because it's like a random game in March and people are sitting out and they're kind of sleepwalking through the game because there's too many games and guys are tired and there's injuries. You should watch a WNBA game because there's not a lot of them in their season. So all of those games in that season, Matt, like those players play pretty hard. I'm not saying NBA players don't play hard. It's just the nature. If there's less of something, all these games matter so much more because losing one game can throw off your entire playoff standing. Where in the NBA, you've got 82 of them. So if you lose, it's like, well, we can make it up, you know, in 2 days. But so you see a lot of intensity in the WNBA for sure.
Well, we're all the way down this road. Josh and I always talk more than we mean to. It's so funny, guys. We agreed to a new contract with the podcast place, and we're like, every episode's going to have to be 20 minutes. And we're like, we can do that. We always intend to do 15, and we do 30.
Yeah, no.
Oh goodness. All right, so we'll be back tomorrow night with a post-game recap. We'll figure out our off-season stuff coming up. I don't know, the off-season stuff I've not really been not looking forward to it, not because I don't want to talk to you guys, just because it's like it's so much more fun to do, you know, just to talk about games. Shout out to the three people who sent us super chats. JR Erickson says, would the Lakers winning the championship this year with Luka as the MVP be enough to push Nico out over the summer? I really think if it gets to that point, yes. I do. I really do. Like I like the noise is going to be so loud. I can't help but think that's the case. Great question, Jared Erickson. Luka fan 77. Did you guys see how mad Stein was today? Most upset I've ever seen him. Man, if Luka goes on a run, this is going to be much worse insanity. Absolutely right. And last but not least, MX Rare says, does Kid have resentment? Is that why he thinks the Luka trade is no big deal? Kid is a sociopath. It is what makes him successful. It is also what makes me really wish he wasn't the Dallas Mavericks head coach. I don't want to say anything too insane, but he is nuts. Like, he understands baseball. One of his children is a high level prospect for college baseball. Like, he's awesome. I watched the kid hit a triple the other day. Oh, goodness. Yep. All right, Kirk and Josh, talking too much as usual. Thanks so much for hanging out at Pod Maverick. We'll be back tomorrow night. Everybody be good and go Mavs.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails. Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need. And 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required. No activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line. Plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.